FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's just a Steen on Sports Tuesday. Scotty had to take care of some business today. He'll be back in here on Thursday. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, or the website 1700thechamp.com. Sponsors of the program: Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. We'll talk more about them later in the show. Commercially wise, we don't have anything until Thursday. It's Eagles-Texans. That's kind of, we'll see what happens with that. My first guest today, it's always great when we get to talk to him, it is Kevin O'Hare. He's my coaching partner. Love getting to talk to Kevin. He's at KOHare55 on Twitter. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Beautiful Tuesday. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Good to talk to you. Thanks for agreeing to jump on today in short notice. I appreciate
that. Thanks for having me.
I saw a stat the other day. Since 2010, Dowling Catholic has 8 state football championships. Number one, unheard of. And number two, you watch enough high school sports and you know how things are at Dowling. Realistic chances they can win another one this year?
Yeah, really. And I think I was talking to one of the coaches today, actually, and it sounds like there's a chance that they can reseed after the semis. And so that might go against Dowling. You know, they were the one seed coming in. There was a triangle effect, right? Southeast Polk beat them. Dowling beat Ankeny. Ankeny beat Polk. So they all kind of beat up on each other. So 1, 2, or 3 could have kind of gone anyway. Dowling got the one seed, which means the 2 and 3 got to beat up on each other in theory, if everything goes as chalk, and before you play the one seed. So that's the excitement of the one seed. But
that's
I talked to somebody today, and it sounds like they could do a reseed heading into the semis.
I still don't know how you can reseed and do any different. I didn't think the seeding was wrong, to be really truthful.
I didn't either. And if you would have put Polk there, I probably would have. I would have said the same thing. I could see them being there too, to be honest. But I thought it was right, not even from a bias standpoint. I just thought Dowling was playing the best football towards the end of the year in regards to, you know, numbers, outcomes, results, stats, all the stuff that comes with that RPI. But again, the two of them will have to beat up on each other before they get to whoever the one seed is. But I do think, realistically, Dowling's got a really good chance, and obviously Smolik throws that ball around the field better than just about anybody. So, and then a lot of really good pieces around.
Since the year 2000, this is the one thing, and since Coach Wilson has been there, and he has said this too: if you're going to lose, lose early. That's what you do, because people forget about it, and you know, you lose late, people remember late, and that's kind of where Southeast Polk and Ankeny were.
Yeah, absolutely. No different, even as you escalate up into college and things along those lines, you kind of forget about the one-loss teams early, and before you know it, they're ranked 7 at the end of the year because they just kind of kept churning and burning and doing what they were supposed to be doing. But Dowling played Northwest earlier in the year. I don't know what the score was. I want to say, you know, it was a 25 or 30-point win. Anybody can beat anybody on any given night, but I know Dowling likes their chances. I'm sure Northwest is licking their chops to get another opportunity at it, but I know Dowling likes where they're at. They're playing really good football. Everything's coming together as it usually does this time of year for them, so a lot of excitement where they're at.
Let's hit up just a little bit on football. When you go through what our state's going through, and on this show, you have a lot of people that are upset by the way that maybe Iowa State's playing. And I'm kind of a no student athlete talk, unless it's good talk. If you want to call in and talk about them positively, I'm in. Negatively, I don't think they deserve that. They don't get paid. You know, they don't have a lot of say in what's being done, you know, so I don't like any of that. But it still is for fans. It's a little disappointing. But, you know, the thing that's crazy for me, no matter what the records are, I saw Iowa Stadium. I was in Jack Trice. Stadium was still full and still crazy, even though we're not playing very well.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think you're a fan of who you are for a lot of reasons, and if they win, it's icing on the cake at the end of the day. I don't think anyone's going anywhere. I mean, I've been a Chicago Cub fan since I was born, and it don't matter if they're, you know, whatever and whatever, or they got the best record in the league. I'll go to Wrigley Field anytime. So I think you fall in love with your teams, whoever they may be, for a lot of variables. And again, winning, you know, is icing on the cake with all that stuff. You want a good product out there, of course, when you go watch. But you know, the atmospheres, the tailgatings, the relationships with friends, the excitement, the ups and downs of good plays, bad plays. I mean, just the 3 hour of actual event, and then the, you know, 4 hours leading up to it. I mean, the excitement it has and brings everyone together and stuff like that for a common cause, if it's your team and stuff like that. No, I don't think anybody's going anywhere. No matter what your record is.
We are once again talking to Kevin O'Hare, Coach Kevin O'Hare. He's at KOHare55 on Twitter. It's getting to be that time of the year. It's your favorite time of the year. It's my favorite time of the year. It's basketball time. First off, freshman basketball, your freshman basketball coach at Dowling Catholic. What's numbers going to look like?
Oh, we got a really good group coming in.
Good.
Obviously they've been doing a lot of work. We'll have about 38 to 39 kids try out.
We'll get
down to 24. Yeah. Have two teams, but it's a really good class. They went undefeated in football. You know, we could use some humility. There's no question there. So I'll take care of that. But
that's right up your alley. You're good.
right. I'll bring us back down to earth real quick. But it's a really good group of kids, athletic, really good in a lot of sports, not just football, basketball.
I lost Coach. You still there?
Oh, you there?
There,
you
I got me? You. I got you.
Yeah, so 2 weeks from yesterday, we kick off.
Nice. That is nice. Varsity numbers, once again, I have a feeling you have football players, but what's weekends been like and what's numbers like?
It's been really good. We've got quite a few numbers. I think we're looking at between 22 and 24. We've got a good amount of numbers in our top 15 that don't play football.
Good.
So again, good, bad, indifferent. Obviously multi-sport athletes are really good, but normally at Dowling, you're always going to have a lot of football players that do both. This year, we've got a handful or so, but, I would say the ones that are kind of at the top of the pecking order as of now, just a lot of basketball and baseball players or basketball and track. So they've had a little bit of a four-month window where football is going on, where they've been able to continue to brush up on their skills, where it doesn't obviously work out that way when you're in your in-season sport of football.
I know you don't always get to see this, but I know you do. You work out with a lot of people. Girls high school basketball, from what I saw last year, if everybody's healthy, that's going to be a really fun team to watch.
Yeah, it is. They're going to be really good. Obviously, Ava back at the point, and we'll be saying that for a couple years. You know, she's got a couple sophomores now that were freshmen last year that started and played a lot, so they'll be there. Lauren Frericks is a senior, steady player from years past, and, you know, I think they've got a couple freshmen this year that are going to be in the mix. Not to speak on Coach Meyer's behalf at all, but I know Leah Brauch, who's got the Brauch Baseball Brothers, who have come through Dowling. She's been playing with them this summer, and there's a Nahas. Coach Nahas' niece has been playing with them. She's a volleyball stud, and she's also been playing with them this summer. So I think they like what they've got from the bottom all the way to the top.
Once again, we're talking to Coach Kevin O'Hare. He's at KOHare55. We're getting to ramp up here, college basketball, getting ready to go. We have the honor, actually, of having four quality Division I women's basketball teams in the state. I think Tanya Warren has a really good group. They're young. They shoot really well. I'm excited to see what happens there. I think Drake is kind of the same. And then you have the big two, which is Iowa State and Iowa. A couple of cool things. Number one, curtains coming down in Carver this year when Iowa State and Iowa women play up there. It's going to be a full house. How special is it that we have two teams like these two teams in Iowa State and Iowa?
Yeah, and I mean, I'd say we're pretty lucky and fortunate, and I'm sure most of us take it for granted to a degree unless you live in those respective cities of Ames and Iowa City. But I was reading something today on the top 25 players in that sport. Clark was 2, Jones was 4, Darnowski from Iowa State was 23, Cezanne was 25. So to have 4 players on top of the two teams and just in the top 25, and then like you had mentioned, I mean, Northern Iowa and Drake are no slouches by any stretch of the imagination. Iowa and Iowa State obviously have a lot of attention because of Jones and Clark, and then obviously very, very good role players, if you want to call them that, when they would be stars on other teams for sure. But, you know, Drake and you and I are probably more they round out more of a formidable groups with each other. I know Drake's got Berg and a couple others, of course. And you and I has got the Johnston girl, who's,
yes,
I want to say a sophomore or junior now over there, I believe. And she was a stud in high school. I know she's had a good couple years over there too. And so again, yeah, back to your, I think we're really fortunate and excited to have really good college women's basketball in our state.
You know, we're kind of looking at, and just to jump back into high school, I mean, expectations, Waukee kind of has the market for high school basketball. You got some kids that if you want to get out, you need to get out and see some high school basketball games, because you have some kids that are going to be playing at the next level. The Sanford kid's going to be playing at the next level. Omaha is going to be playing at the next level. There's a bunch of them that are going to get ready to bring an athletic, a tall athletic ability out there. I wanted to talk to you about a different one, and I was surprised the other day, talking a little bit to a couple of buddies that are huge Drake basketball fans. I had no idea, and I swear to you, I did not, that Tucker DeVries was 6'7".
Yeah, no,
he is an amazing athlete if he's 6'7", and he still does the things that he was doing in high school.
I agree. I would guess, and again, speculation, that he's getting a little bit of that, whatever you throw on your card, you're probably an inch or two shorter than.
Right.
We all used
still.
To elevate our height. So I haven't seen him, obviously. I would, if he's 6'7", you're right. Send him to the league tomorrow. But and he will be, from everybody I listen to and everybody I talk to, he is not far away from being an NBA player. Obviously, he's a preseason first team all conference. And I think he is projected to be player of the year in that conference. And he's only a sophomore. Again, when you can shoot the ball like he does, or a Sanford kid, Peyton, who's at Iowa, when you shoot the ball that well and you're 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", Kyle Korver type, you know, I mean, you're long, you're lengthy, you stretch the floor, you have high IQ, you've been around the game for so long. I mean, you're invaluable to your team. And then just the ability to defend because of your length and your IQ, I mean, if they're a step slow here or there on defense, they're smart enough and long enough to make up for it. And so whatever weaknesses they have, and I'm not sure they have many, there's ways around them because of all their strengths.
I know the Hawkeyes last night, in seeing the bits and pieces that I did and reading, everybody knows. I mean, Chris Murray is athletic. He gets to be a little bit out of his brother's shadow. The other Sanford is really good. And listen, they're two guards, I think they between Perkins and Ulitz, they just have to combine and have more turnovers than assists, and I think that's going to be a plus. I've said all along, I think Connor McCaffrey being there, he's the brains and the guts out there, right? When things go bad, he can cover. If somebody does something to somebody, he's your muscle. I still think, and I've said this all along, that Patrick McCaffrey is the key to that. And even in that game, he didn't score a lot, but his plus-minus, and I know all you basketball coaches love plus-minus more than you do on just points scored. His plus-minus was plus 36 on things that he was doing right on the floor. He's a big deal. If they keep him healthy, I think that's the reason that the University of Iowa is going to be really good.
Yeah, huge. And then, of course, Connor shooting the ball as well as he did last night, added bonus. But again, what kind of impact can you make on a game if you don't score is the question you ask any kid or you know, college player. What's the type of impact you can have without scoring? A lot of kids can't answer that question. Patrick answered it pretty well last night. And I think if you get more responses like that from other people, I think you have really good basketball teams.
And not to leave Iowa State out, I think Iowa State, from what little I've heard, and I, you know, we have a little bug up there that we can talk to every once in a while to give us inside hints, but I think they are just as good defensively, but I think they're more athletic. It's just going to see how well they can gel together. I think Taman Lipsey is going to be a huge asset. I think he's a great player. I've thought that. I've told you that. I've seen him play when he was in eighth grade. And I always have thought that, I mean, he's going to get bigger. He's smart. He's in the right place every time. And another one just like that, just so we can throw you and I in here too, Bowen Bourne, seriously, if he was 4 inches taller, it would be lights out for that young man.
For sure. Absolutely. And I went up and watched Iowa State practice last week and had a chance to talk to TJ for a little bit and Kyle Green and great guys. And Taman was on the bike kind of nursing an injury, but he looked like he was a middle linebacker.
Oh my gosh. That's what I thought.
He's stacked. He looks the part. He's smarter than smart can be. Gabe, I don't know how you say Gabe's last name, but
Tauscher,
he shoots the ball.
Yes.
Lights out. Yep. Shot the lights out. You know, the point guard who tore his Achilles early in the year, obviously is a bum deal. So they'll move some guys around and obviously Taman will play a lot more, but they're excited up there. The St. Bonnie guy, they're excited. They're going to be good.
Only thing that would make this better if we were sitting having a beer talking. I appreciate it, Coach. I can't wait to talk to you again when we get closer to the season and in season.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Have a good week.
You too. Thanks, buddy. Coach Kevin O'Hare, Zach Steenblok on Zach Steenblok's birthday coming into the show. I'll be back right after this break.
Here's a look at sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steam on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Want to thank you for coming in and listening to Steam on Sports, coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steam on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. Thursday night, we have Eagles, Texans. Saturday, UNI, South Dakota State. What a huge game. If you want to go see a good college football game, go to the Unidome. Go see that game. Cheer on your Panthers. Sunday, you're going to get Chargers, Falcons, Seahawks, Cardinals, Chiefs, and Titans. Monday night, you get UNI Wartburg basketball starting up. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance, providing quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial service throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. They provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial and janitorial service throughout the Midwest. Heritage is a future focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients, providing peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partner of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial service. Go to heritagebuilding.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. My next guest is Zach Steenblok. He is at Zach Steenblok on Twitter, and it's his birthday. Happy birthday, buddy.
Bam, 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 bam. How's it going?
It's going really well. How was golf?
It was good. Can you hear me okay?
I got you fine.
All right, good.
Where'd you golf?
Yeah, it was good. Legacy.
Legacy.
No free ads, though.
Legacy, you know. How was the course? Good?
It was good. Cool. Probably got a little sunburn, but it was a super nice day out for November.
I agree.
You can't beat it.
What do you think? I mean, I have so many things I want to talk to you about. I may stay off the whole football and Iowa State and everything because I've beat that dead.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
I wanted to get your take on a couple of things with the NBA. The first is the New Jersey Nets fire Steve Nash.
Oh, the Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets fire Steve Nash today. They have issues with Kyrie Irving with a lot of stuff that is probably not sports radio worthy. I mean, he said some things that you can't say, and you especially can't say them where he's saying them at. You have some people that are upset. They're trying to find a new coach. It looks like M.A. Udoka from the Celtics, who is not with the Celtics because he's been set aside for a year for some things. It looks like the Brooklyn Nets are a little out of sorts.
Yeah. The NBA is a weird league where the coaches get fired so much. And I honestly don't think the coaching is what wins games and what doesn't win games. The regular season goes. The playoffs are a whole different, world where the coaching actually does matter. Steve Nash, I don't think, needs to be fired. I don't think it's him that's the problem there. They have a lot of big personalities, if you will. And they have to figure out the whole, Kyrie thing. And I don't really know what to say about it. Him and Kanye West, I've kind of been staying off of on Twitter. But
I don't understand it all. I am too.
Right. And like I said, the NBA – there's no reason to fire a coach like that. I mean, they're what, 6 games into the season and they went to the playoffs last year. Like what are they expecting? I don't think it's a great move, but at the end of the day, does it matter? I'm not totally sure. There's only like those, top-notch coaches, in the NBA now. But it does feel weird having the NBA already started and going.
I know.
Because it's weird it's November, and it probably shouldn't be, but we'll have to see. I don't really know who they hire. I don't know who's out there. There's not a lot of, in the NFL, you have like the cyclical coaches, right?
Right.
The OCs and, everyone who's been in the league a long time, or they get college coaches. But the NBA is a lot different where there's not a lot to pick from, because it's the college doesn't transfer to the NBA.
Yeah.
Like it kind of does a little bit in the NFL. I just think it's a weird move. I would love to talk trade deadline. There's been a lot of moves in the NFL today.
There have been a lot of moves, and some people got a lot better. The Miami Dolphins got a lot better. Their biggest issue that they had this year is rushing the passer. They get Bradley Chubb for next to nothing. I mean, there's been, I'm trying to see how many net there were today, but I'm trying to see where my picks are so I can blow them all up. Who caught your eye the most?
Yeah, so I'll leave that off for you. I mean, first off, I think the Vikings got a great player in Hockenson. I mean, they're the sneakiest team in the NFL. They're 6-1 right now. And they add another receiver who they had Irv Smith or whatever. And he, try to say that 3 times fast, but he was not like an ideal tight end, right? You have the tight ends in the NFL now are like the elite, and then there's nothing, right? You have the 5 tight ends in the league. Them getting TJ Hockenson is a huge step, and they got him for like a 2nd and a 4th round pick. I think that's a great trade on the Vikings part. He's 20, I think he's the same age as I am, 27, 26 years old.
Yeah.
Being able to go from the Lions where he caught touchdowns, he has about, 60 yards a game probably, to Jefferson's going to take over the top and then he's going to sit right in the middle. He's going to get 10 catches a game now. I think that's great. And then you have the Bears getting Chase Claypool. We'll see how that plays out. He's a big receiver.
It gives Justin Fields somebody.
They have Darnell Mooney, who's like the fast Z receiver, right? And then you have, Claypool at X. They needed someone, right? They needed to replace Allen Robinson, which they never did. Sadly, Allen Robinson probably could have helped them this year, but he's with the Rams now.
And helping them none.
exactly, right. So I think the Vikings and the Bears made some good moves today.
Come on, not taking into consideration my Ravens getting Roquan Smith, man. That's a big deal for them.
Well, it is from the Bears too, right? They trade away their all pro
middle linebacker that's been, you know, great for the ever since he joined the league.
For a second and a fifth.
Right, exactly. And then they go back. He's literally just Ray Lewis, right?
Yep. That's exactly what he is.
But I love that the NFL is moving like the NBA or, you know, like the MLB a little bit in the trade deadline. I think I saw a tweet today. It was like from 2015 to now, it was like two players, six, seven, eight, nine, to now where we are like in 2022. I love the trade deadline. I want more of this. I don't know if you like it or if,
I do.
You know, the common person likes it, but I want to see teams mix up players, you know, go and get draft picks, go and try to win. You know, the Rams did what they did. What was it? 2 years ago when they got Stafford? Or was it last year?
And they won a Super Bowl. They traded away all their draft picks.
Right. But it wasn't the trade deadline.
No.
But, you know, go and win who you have with now, right? The Broncos were obviously like, you know, Bradley Chubb's a great player. We're going to get rid of him because they're struggling, right? And I like to see teams go out there and, like, what's going to make us this much better that gives us the edge to, you know, go make a deep run? I love that. You know, give up what you have for later to win today. That's what really matters because it is a league of what have you done for me lately? Right.
Absolutely. And I agree with what you said. I think, you know, just getting those players, it matters. And, you know, right now you're looking at that. I think the top three teams in the league are the Eagles and the Bills and the Chiefs. And I don't think there's
what about the Vikings?
You know what? Here's what I'm going to say, because I wanted to throw that on top of what you said. Number one, Kirk Cousins needs a good tight end, and T.J. Hockenson's the best tight end that he's ever had. He can
downfield. Kirk Cousins is a check down machine, and he can check down. Sorry to interrupt, but I get excited when there's tight end talk.
I think you do. I think that was a huge get for them. That changes the way that he sees the field, and it opens up. The wide receivers are going to love it because that's going to open up, because he can throw the ball downfield. He just doesn't do it very often if they're covered. And I don't know how you defend all that, especially with how they can run the ball as well. I don't know if you'd throw the Cowboys in there. Would you throw the Cowboys in there? And I don't know if you'd throw the Dolphins and the Ravens.
I think you have to throw all those teams in there. What stinks for the Cowboys is that the Eagles have the easiest schedule this year. Kind of rewind to when the Steelers were 9-0, right? What was that, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? They have the easiest schedule. And it's tough for the Cowboys because, you know, the NFC East, same division.
Yep.
The Eagles are probably going to win that division. Right, and they're going to have to hope for, you know, that wild card spot.
You got a couple of teams.
And I know the playoffs change, so I might be wrong here about how it all breaks down.
They still can't get any higher than, I mean, they're not going to get any higher than what they are. Yeah, and that's just the way it is.
You know, maybe the Cowboys go on a little run here. I think Zeke getting hurt is probably for the best for the organization without having to split carries with Tony Pollard. That just goes to show you should never pay running backs so much money. And I hate to say it because, you know, they're important, but it doesn't matter how good your running back is. It matters how your line is and how your quarterback is and how you can, you know, get the play action pass going. And then instead of throwing on first and 10 or second and 10, you're running the ball for 7 yards, right? I'm one of those guys who I don't like running the ball. I never have. I probably never will. The running back is I believe they should all be scat backs as running backs as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, having that receiver running out of the backfield, but
which is a lot of those, like Cowboys, Breece Hall. I mean, that's why the Jets won.
He can have 100 receiving yards, and he can have 100 rushing yards. You never know what it's going to be, right? Whatever the defense gives you. But it's incredible where the Cowboys are right now, just because Cooper or not Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush won them three games while Dak was hurt. I mean, that's huge.
That defense won three games. I don't know if Cooper Rush did, but that defense did. I want Micah Parsons on my team in the NFL. That's all I know.
He is incredible. He's just a young kid who they're like, go get someone, and he'll go get someone. But I think who would have thought the NFC East would be such on top? We have, I mean, the Giants were 5-1 before last week. My Seahawks beat them in London. You know, no shame in that. But then you have the undefeated Eagles, and then you have the 5-2 Cowboys.
Yeah,
who would have thought the NFC East would be such a high-powered conference right now? Everything's messed up. I know we're kind of in the middle of the season, probably dead in the middle. But, I mean, the Seahawks are winning the NFC West right now, which is unheard of, right? That's not what's supposed to happen.
The Washington Commanders are number 16 in the power rankings.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's the NFC East.
And this is why we play the games. This is why the NFL is, you know, the cream of the crop, right? So I'm excited for the rest of the season. I feel like I'm just rambling right now, but
it's your birthday. I'm allowing it.
I know. But there is a lot to watch and be excited for about the NFL.
I have to tell you that I had Coach O'Hare on before, and he wanted me to tell you, he just sent me a text to tell you happy birthday.
Oh, boy.
Yep. So
thanks, Kev.
Yep, there you go. Okay, so because your brother isn't coming on to talk NBA for probably a couple more weeks, a lot of good stuff happened in the NBA, but I'm a Russell Westbrook hater. Talk me out of being a Russell Westbrook hater.
I mean, him and the only thing I need to say is Klay Thompson and Russell Westbrook have the same stat line currently right now. They're seven games in. Who cares if he misses shots? All you see on Twitter is him missing shots. They're not going to show you him making shots. If you think Klay Thompson is garbage, you think Russell Westbrook's garbage.
Russell Westbrook doesn't guard like Klay Thompson guards.
And are you sure?
Yeah.
And how much NBA have you watched this year?
I've watched enough of the Warriors games. You know better than that. And
have you watched a lot of the Lakers games?
Yeah, they've been. I've watched his stat line.
No, it's past your bedtime. You're not watching any.
I watch his stat line. His stat line is atrocious.
I understand the plus minus, but I think Klay Thompson's tired of the whole Jordan Poole thing, and he wants the ball. And I think Klay Thompson might be traded at the NBA trade deadline. I really do.
He's their biggest piece that they can trade. Because no one's taking Draymond Green. So
Draymond can do whatever he wants. The Warriors would be nothing without Draymond. They would never have won any championships.
I agree. I agree with that as well. And having Steph Curry doesn't hurt. Happy birthday, buddy.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Appreciate you.
Thank
you. Love you. And talk to you later. Where are you going out to dinner? He already
hung. I can't. It's too loud in my ear.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Happy birthday to him. You're listening to Steen on Sports 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Be right back.
Sign up. Sports 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. It's Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. Website 1700thechamp.com. I will have the podcast up tonight after I get home. I always try to do two at a time. Makes it easier on me. This segment will be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on. Taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Northwest Financial Group earns top workplace award for the 8th year in a row from the Des Moines Register. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking wherever your phone is in your hand or whenever your phone is in your hand. That's probably a better thing. Also, take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait and open an account for Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC, day one, and could not do this without them, and appreciate all that they do for the program. I want to thank Coach Kevin O'Hare for coming in, talking a lot of basketball really fast. I told him, we talked after we got off, I'm like, I could pick his brain for a long time and talk forever, and he's like, he's all in. So it's great to get to hear from him. Zach Steenblock, little birthday. It's my oldest son. Getting to celebrate his birthday today. He's 27. That means I'm going to be 57, which means Nana's going to be a spry and jumping around 77. We love her. Love you, Nana. Love you, DJ. She at 77 has more energy than I have at 57, and it's not even a contest. So it's just kind of it's a birthday month here. So, all right, so many things to talk about. I don't even know. There's so much stuff going on, I don't even know where to start. So I'm going to start a little bit with just some quick things that are out there. I think one of the funnest things about the NFL is they've changed the way that they look at the trading deadline. They didn't used to make a lot of trades. I think teams now are, I think the reason that a lot of these teams look at the way they do is, I get having draft picks. You have to build from the draft at a certain point in your team's, kind of where they're at and where they're heading. I think the Chicago Bears think that they have their quarterback. I think Ryan Poles is going to do a great job as a general manager for them. They had players that they got rid of that you would think that they would not be trading, but I think they like those draft picks, and they have like 8 draft picks next year in that draft. It's a very, very big draft class. And here's the other thing. I don't know how many teams that have first round draft picks are going to pick quarterbacks. There's quarterbacks to be taken. That's where some of these teams that have multiple first round draft picks can move the maneuverability. A lot of good players are in the second round. You're going to see a lot of people moving around and doing that. We talked briefly on this. Kirk Cousins, the Irv Smith got hurt the other day. That leaves a couple of tight ends on that football team that don't have a lot of experience. The Minnesota Vikings, as it stands right now, I'm pulling this up here. They are 6-1. They have a 3.5 game lead on the Bears and the Packers, and they have wins over, I do believe they have, I know they have a win over the Packers. I'm not for sure on the Bears. He needed a tight end. Not only did they get him a tight end, I mean, you can throw out the ones Kittles and Kelsey, and I mean, you can throw those out. TJ Hockenson has an upside. Don't know how well he was used in Detroit. It's kind of Detroit's still kind of a work in process. Kirk Cousins is going to love that. Gives him that. I think that also opens up Adam Thielen a little bit too, to not be that guy that has to go down and run those 6-7 yard routes that are always getting punished all the time, getting hit, and maybe get him to move down the field some too. Because TJ Hockenson now has from the line of scrimmage to 15 yards down the field with a linebacker covering him that you can't cover him. I think he's a better blocker than anybody they've had in a long time. I thought that was a huge, huge pickup. I think getting Bradley Chubb, if you're the Miami Dolphins, that solidifies your offense. Just a lot of these people, a lot of these teams today just went and got things to help. Buffalo Bills picked up Hines, a running back from the Colts, just to have that one more running back. I think it showed the other night that, you know, they kind of went away from the run a little, took things for granted against the Green Bay Packers. I think if they had to do that game all over again, you played it all over again, I think they win by 3-4 touchdowns, because I think Sean McDermott would have handled it differently than what he did. I guarantee you that Allen would have he would have done things totally different. Those were two enormous interceptions that he hasn't done since probably back when he was at Wyoming. He's too good a quarterback to do that, and you know his ability to lower his interception rate is what has him a little bit above Patrick Mahomes in a lot of people's eyes. I don't know if I agree with that totally, but it's going to be very interesting to see how this all works out. The Kansas City Chiefs didn't do a lot these last couple of days. I think the wide receiver that they got from the New York Giants for next to nothing is going to surprise people when people see how he's going to play in this offense that is wide receiver and speed advantageous. So a lot of things going on. Just to cover something too, the Indianapolis Colts, they fired their defensive coordinator. They already let go of their offensive coordinator. I would have a feeling that that's a total rebuild for the Indianapolis Colts. And that's, if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan, that's hard to take. I think you thought you were going to be much better than that. We talked, I just want to do a couple more here too. When you look at this, there are, you know, you have teams. This is really funny. So even as good as the San Francisco 49ers look this weekend, and here's a couple of things, because I had some 49er fans shouting at me today. And I guess what I said to the San Francisco 49ers fans is, hey, Deebo Samuel's already hurt. Connor McCaffrey has a history of being hurt. Connor McCaffrey's a great player. He's so much fun to watch. And Jimmy Garoppolo, for every three good games he has, he's going to have a stinker game. And I don't know how you get around that when you have big games, if he's always going to have a big game. I think the LA Rams are toast. They can't protect. And if Matthew Stafford is not going to stand in that pocket and throw and get hurt, I mean, he's going to go down so he doesn't get hit. And he's going to live to keep fighting another day. And I don't know how many days they have left they can fight. And that's why I'm so disappointed in the Arizona Cardinals. I thought the Arizona Cardinals 2 weeks ago should have just said, you know what, we can't do this anymore. I would have tried to bring in somebody offensively, shared, tag teamed on head coach. I don't even know what you do, but you bring in somebody that can take a look at Kyler Murray and make Kyler Murray a better quarterback. I'm not one of those guys that are giving up on Kyler Murray. You put him in some of these other teams, he would be, I guarantee you, with the talent that is in Minnesota, with the Minnesota Vikings would be a better football team with Kyler Murray as quarterback than Kirk Cousins. So come at me with that one. I am not a Kirk Cousins fan. I'm a Kirk Cousins fan right now because of what they just got for Kirk Cousins. But I don't know if I'm a Kirk Cousins fan in the second round of the playoffs against anybody. There's just too many unknowns. The Green Bay Packers, how does that sit today? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is already upset. I mean, he's still upset about taking a quarterback and not getting him something 3 years ago. He wants a wide receiver. You don't know how long Randall Cobb's going to be out. I guarantee you that Alan Lazard's going to try to play whenever he can play, but he can't lift his arm up beyond his waist. So he's not going to be able to. That not only is you don't want any long-term effect on him, because even though is Green Bay Packers, is he going to be their number one wide receiver next year? You would hope not. You would hope the Green Bay Packers would go out and get a number one. He's better suited as a number two, and he's the best blocking wide receiver in football. But you're asking him to do too much. And the Green Bay Packers did not go out. Christian Watson got hurt the other night. They don't have wide receivers. Their schedule is difficult. They're going to need something big time in order to get into the playoffs. Because when you look at their schedule, there's too many losses on their schedule. I think at the Lions, I think they win. But would you be surprised if they lost? Then they have the Cowboys. Then they have the Titans. Then they have the Eagles. Then they have the Bears. Then they have the Rams and the Dolphins and the Vikings and the Lions. I don't like it. I don't like it for them. You're going to need 10 wins to do it. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Three more segments left. A ton to talk about. Be right back.